welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. This is all a little bit new, isn't it, Steve?
It is, yeah. This seemed like a really good idea about a year ago. I said, I know, because we were new at podcasts, and anyone that's listening to the LRM podcast will know that we've been doing it for about 13, 14 months, and we thought this would be a good opportunity to do LRM podcast live, and no, I don't think it's a good idea, because I'm a bit nervous.
It's a little bit different from being in the studio on the fabled salmon sofa, isn't it? Just me and you talking about Land Rovers for an hour. But we must introduce our special guest. Our first special guest of the podcast is Jimmy DeVille.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be back. This is my second podcast with you guys.
It is, yeah. You were the first guest we ever had on the LRM podcast.
And now I'm sitting on the salmon sofas, which is a massive privilege.
Well, and it's it was a last-minute decision to bring them, really, wasn't it, Steve? Because they were... they're in the depths of the building we work in down in the studio, and it was a bit of a mission to sort of, as you can see, they're sectional, and this is a much bigger sofa normally, but we thought, do you know what, there's been at least three people asked to see the salmon sofa, we'll chuck it in the van and we'll bring it along to Billing.
It just gets to show that a decision of three people can make us do such a thing, but we are asked to bring the salmon sofa out, and it probably hasn't moved for about 30 or 40 years, and it's really comfortable, and we actually have it on our stand at the Land Rover Monthly stand, and some people have taken selfies already, so hashtag save the salmon sofa.
I'm not really sure why the hashtag is save the salmon sofa, because as far as we're aware, it's not in any imminent danger, but, you know, it rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Can I just say, as I guess, sitting on the middle section, it's quite an experience. Very funny. For those that are listening, it's jutting out between my legs.
And the salmon sofa is as well. Jimmy, we've sort of built up quite a rapport recently, haven't we? We went down to Goodwood to do a shoot with your 90 and a very lovely soft top that Britpart had built. But you've got a much, much deeper, longer history with Land Rover, haven't you?
Yeah, my afflictions with Land Rovers go right back to really 1997, where I went and lived in the Falkland Islands. And at the time, 99.9% of all vehicles in the Falkland Islands were series Land Rovers. In fact, I was there when the first, I think it was a Mitsubishi Shogun turned up. I think two came into the country. And so I bought my first car there, which was a 108 2A, which was quite a vehicle, and I just fell in love from that very moment.
Yeah, they certainly do get under your skin. I know a lot of people here will have had Land Rovers as their first cars as well, and they sort of, you know, you grow with them, you add things, you modify them, you realise you probably shouldn't have modified them, you go back, you fix them. They do, you know, this is obviously an off-road show, but being in the country that we're in, Land Rovers are definitely dominant here, and they're just such a characterful vehicle, aren't they, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, we've both been around Land Rovers for many years as well. In fact, I remember coming to this show, which was on the Aquadrome, and this was your off-road course, 29 years. So next year will be my 30th year coming to this show. I've drunk some beer in this tent, I'm telling you.
While we're talking about the history of Land Rovers, I was just thinking I would love this time to do a bit of a confessional about a Land Rover thing that's bugged me for many, many years. That happened in the Fall Guys.
Okay.
Is this a good time to share?
Go for it.
I just feel like we're in a safe space now. So it's a bit of my Land Rover history that still haunts me. So I'm going to tell a story. And what happened was... this one time in the Falkland Islands, all the vehicles were very old and getting to the end of their lives, a lot of them. But we, as a community, we would have things like a changing a bulkhead party over the weekend, and everyone would jump in and work on the Land Rovers. Anyway, this one old boy had got a new Land Rover, being a sort of Series 3, and he said, I've got this old one, I just need to get rid of. And me, being a young lad, getting rid of it in the Falkland Islands mean dragging it to the shore and throwing it off a cliff. So I was like, oh, I'll help you do that, I've got a tractor. So I went in and towed this old Land Rover. I didn't really know much about them back in the day, down to the cliff. We didn't push it off. But as young men, we thought, well, we'll have a bit of fun. And we spent some time smashing some windows. And a few years later, there was an article in one of the Land Rover magazines about an army officer who was on tour in the Falklands, finding a very rare Series 1 on the cliffs in the Falklands. And he flew it back and restored it. And it was the one that I'd spent the afternoon smashing the windows out of. So it turned out it was a really rare Series 1 that we had dragged down to the the sort of to its final resting place, but it did get recovered and brought back. That was my near miss on having a lovely experience with an old Series 1.
Well, Jimmy, it's been absolutely lovely having you on the podcast, but we're going to kick you out for doing that. That's the other thing, of course. There's so many companies here that will sell you all the bits you need to rebuild the Land Rover, bring it back from the brink, which is actually what you're doing, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I'm trying my hardest. Really quite exciting, really. So anyone that's listened to the LRM podcast over the last year will know that I haven't actually got on with my own project because I'm always looking at other people's. And just going around here, there's all the bits that you need. I've got my eye on the lower dash, actually. But if anyone sees a really good lower dash for an early 90, I could do with it. So, because the Vulcan has been sorted this week.
What you could do, if you do find a nice lower dash, is snap it up from a trader, swing by the LRM stand, put a nice markup on it, and sell it to Steve.
I've actually just been for a quick look round, because I've got the junkyard, and I've just found a bit that I've been looking for years. It's the cat flap for a Series 3 hardtop. Sadly, it's quite expensive, 350 quid, and then you've come down on price. But it's not got all the bits.
Right.
Yeah. I was really pleased to see it, because that is one of those nice bits that hard to find.
Yeah, cat flaps, there's a few sort of halo carts, isn't there, around the cat flaps on the Series Land Rover. Look, it's so right. But yeah, they do hold their money. So if you see one and it has all the bits, you have to snap it up, because they're not making any more.
Yeah, I know you get remanufactured, but it's all the same bits, all the bracketry. They're the bits that are elusive now. But there's people out here that are absolute experts, and they're rummaging in these boxes at Aspie Speed, especially around the auto jumble area, finding them and recognising them. But there's a lot of value in old Land Rover bits, unlike when you were smashing a Series 1 up.
Yeah, thanks for that, Steve. Yeah, there's something that's haunted me. But, you know, I think part of my Land Rover life has been an education, and that's where it started. And then my love has developed and my understanding has developed. And I went on to buy a Series 3 when I got back to the UK. And just to make amends, that was my first car I ever bought in the UK, and I still do own that car, my very first car I bought in the UK. So that's, my Series 3 is still in my garage, and it is the one car of all the cars I have that I would never, ever sell.
I think we've all got seller's remorse getting rid of stuff and then realising down the line that that shouldn't have happened. So yeah, fair play to you keeping hold of it for that long. You've got your Land Rover 90, which has not long been upgraded to sort of overland spec on our stand. So if you do want to see Jimmy's Defender, very, very cool thing, swing by the Land Rover monthly stand, have a little look over it. You've actually done loads of work to that recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been turning into a bit of an overlander of my dreams, literally last week just fitting in the storage in the back. And one of the things I really enjoy doing, and I think the Land Rover community in whole, is customising to suit your individual kind of needs and requirements. And that's what something that's really nice about going around the show, is just seeing the variety of Land Rovers out there and the different things people have done. Some things you go, oh, I'm not sure about that. Other things you're like, that's amazing. But but everything that everyone does is, I think, really interesting and adds its value, whether it's something you would or wouldn't do, you know, it's just nice to see. I think that's something that's really nice of being here at Billing, you're just seeing just the varieties is outstanding.
I was going to say, I don't think there's another brand, another vehicle make out there that hosts such a huge range of different genres, if you like. It's actually quite incredible. Everything from, like you say, fully restored stuff like that Series 1 that you ruined, to, you know, your hardcore off-roaders, challenge trucks, and everything in between. It's really cool.
Yeah, no two Land Rovers seem to be the same, do they? And everyone's got their own take on what makes a perfect Land Rover. Just looking around the show, really nice to talk to people just this morning who have never been here before. They're brand new to the Land Rover scene, and at the beginning of their journey. So they're being inspired by, you know, Land Rovers like yours and Land Rovers like yours, Martin, because your Series 3 not long had a rebuild on a new chassis. You know, if you are looking to undertake restoration, you'll be, you know, have a look in the Land Rover Monthly and just be inspired by some of the stuff that people are actually doing. It's more about the people, isn't it, in this world of Land Rovers?
Absolutely, yeah. Will Webster, in fact, yesterday, the man in charge of Goodwich, was telling us about several projects they've undertaken in, like, next to no time to help people out that they know. And it's just that, like I say, like, that fantastic community spirit. If something needs doing, like he said, ask a busy person. And a lot of Land Rover people, you know, guys and girls, are very busy, and they do get stuff done. It's fantastic. So moving on, I think we have to address, we're at the Billing Off-Road Show, off-road in the name. The off-road course is open today. The mud run is open. Are you heading down there later, Jimmy?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm going to try and jump in someone's vehicle. So if anyone out there wants to give me a lift round, I'm all ears. I think mine's staying on the stand. So I am itching to get out there and get dirty.
It's nice to see people using Land Rovers how they're supposed to be used, and that is off-road. I mean, we're all guilty of building Land Rovers now that don't really see the dirt anymore. And that's because, you know, the values of Land Rovers have, over the years, have gone up and up and up. And, you know, particularly like your Defender, you know, it's a car that's been out of production for like 9 years now, and people are still developing parts, and the values have gone up and up. So taking them off-road and through the infamous mud run is quite an achievement. But it's still nice to see this, like, a massive community of people actually still off-roading.
Yeah, it's really important to get out and enjoy them. I know, like you say, the value of them comes into it, but it does them no good to be sat around. They're built to be used. You know, when they were bought brand new by their first owner, they didn't stick them in a garage and look at them. They got out there and put them to work, used them, you know, recreationally, daily drivers a lot of the time. That's what they're designed for. So you've actually got quite a journey, a travelling expedition in the works, haven't you, Jimmy? Is it later this year?
Yeah, later this year. Last year, I went over to the Pyrenees just to sort of shake down the Defender after doing sort of the first stage of the build, and I spent a week driving over 200 miles across the Pyrenees, staying completely off on piste as it is out there, just on the tracks, which was absolutely, if anyone wants to just shake their Land Rover down, do take it to the Pyrenees. It's very accessible, get the ferry over there and you can have an incredible time. But post that, this year for me is about doing something that I've been dreaming of doing since I was a very young man. And in 2007, I drove a motorbike to the Sahara and found out how bad I am at driving a motorbike in the sand, and crashed my brains out about 5 times in 20 minutes. And so gave up going further into the desert because I just rubbish on a motorbike. But the dream was always to do it in a Land Rover, just finances were against me back then. So this year I'm finally putting together a little expedition going down there and to get right into the Sahara and do some of the old Dakar routes through there, driving a sort of 500-600 miles into the desert. So yeah, really was to do it, and we're going to shake the Land Rover out and see what it's got.
It's certainly built for the job now. You've done an absolutely amazing job kicking that out in the back for a 90 as well, which isn't exactly blessed with interior space. You've been really clever about how it's packaged, and you've got roof tent, and it's a lovely thing. I particularly like your balcony on the back of the spare wheel.
Yeah, that was a touch I've just done. Just to come to the show. If anyone does have a look at it, I've done a little veranda which is on top of the spare wheel. And people are going to look at that and go, why has he put fake turf on top of his spare wheel? Well, if you then look up at the roof tent, you realise that when you step out of the roof tent, I step onto the platform that's mounted. I've got a Days on Track kind of platform. And what I found is that's a really useful place when you're going in and out of the tent to sort of stage yourself, put my shoes in at night. So it's now got a little garden out there. So there's some of B&M's finest fake grass. I've got the deluxe stuff. $15.99 for a square meter. Yeah, and there's a little cactus on there. Yeah, utterly deluxe. It's 18 millimeters plush. It's plush stuff, not the 12 mil rubbish. 18 millimeters of pure AfroTurf. No, not chubby at all. It's quite fine. So yeah, and this morning was the first morning getting up with that fine fake grass between my toes. Delightful.
What a feeling, jumping out your roof tent first thing in the morning at Billing Off Road Show, feeling that delightful plastic grass between your toes. I can only imagine the ecstasy you felt. But yeah, it's all good fun, and it shows that modifying a Land Rover can be fun. And I mean, the style you've done yours is heavily influenced by the Tamiya radio controlled vehicle. So you've gone, the colour scheme is quite retro Baja sort of styling, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, growing up in the 70s, 80s, I was really into my Tamiya RC cars, and the Hornet being one of those kind of pinnacle RC cars, along with things like the Lunchbox. And when it came to, I've had that Land Rover now for about sort of 10 years, and it was just a white sort of farm spec Land Rover. And I just wanted to bring it to life. And that kind of whole Californication era, I think it's because our generation are now, you know, in our 40s, we're sort of harking back to that, and it's something I wanted to bring to it. Just looking back at that kind of era, in the, you know, all those cool, remember those cool TV shows in the 80s? Martin's looking at me very blankly. Steve, remember those really cool shows in the 80s? What was your particular favourite? Any particular favourites?
100% the A-Team. Yeah, A-Team, Knight Rider, Street Hawk. You'd have not liked that because it's motorcycles.
Yeah.
They were the yeah. programs. Airwolf. Yeah, they were absolutely brilliant. Starsky and Hutch. Yeah, loads of them. But yeah, that was a lot of inspiration for me. I used to get my BMX after watching an episode of the A-Team and think, what can I make the BMX into? Ride it around the garden with like a broom handle through the handlebars or something, just to kind of do something, thinking I was like BA.
Yeah, well, so that's exactly the fun and joy that I want to bring back in my Defender, and it's the kind of reaction to it has been amazing. Just, you know, driving here yesterday, people literally pull up alongside, give you the thumbs up. So it's just really nice to see other people enjoying it. You know, Land Rover themselves have brought out a Californication version of the new Defender. So it seems to be a very kind of now vibe, but it's something that simply puts a smile on my face. And I say this a lot, we spend a lot of time working on Defenders. One, just to maintain them and keep them moving. Two, to kind of tweak them to the way we want to live with them. And then the three things should be just about just having fun. And the other thing I just got yesterday was a new petrol cap, which is like the billet aluminium one. Absolutely no purpose to it, other than every time I fill it up and have to put all that fuel and money into it, I can just enjoy that little billet moment. Oh, it's lovely. Lovely.
A bit like sitting on that centre seat. A bit like sitting on that centre seat now.
Oh, exactly like seeing here. It's just a joy to behold. If you notice, I've just been slowly sort of just sliding back in it. It's quite a joy. This salmon sofa, there's going to be some stains on it by the end of this weekend, I really do think.
Hopefully not, but we'll see. I mean, but how do you put those three feelings in order between filling up using a billet fuel cap, sitting on the salmon sofa, and feeling AstroTurf between your toes, Jimmy?
I mean, it's all just pleasure, isn't it? It is all just pleasure.
This is a conversation I didn't think we'd be having this morning, but fantastic stuff. Like I say, you'll be floating around the show. Your 90s on the Land Rover monthly stand. Do come and take advantage of the subscription offer that we've got on. Come and see the lovely ladies on the LRM stand and get yourself a LED work light / camping light, whatever you want to use it for. A hat, which Steve is modelling beautifully. Look at that.
Look at that. And you can look this good. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, you're supposed to be selling it.
All for 20 quid.
What a bargain. And of course, a year's worth of Land Rover Monthly. So you can catch up with all the latest, fresh Land Rover content. Well, Jimmy, we'll let you go. Thank you ever so much for joining us up on the legendary salmon sofa. We'll no doubt catch up a little bit later over a couple of drinks. And thanks very much. Give it up for Jimmy DeVille. Next up, I've got two more guests in the wings. I'm gonna see who's looking at me in the most. Okay, Lexi, do you want to come and join us? Matt's avoiding eye contact, so we'll just assume that probably. So next up on the stage, we'd like to welcome Defender Lexi. Lovely to see you, Lexi. We caught up a little bit yesterday. How are you finding Billing so far?
Oh yeah, Billing's great, isn't it? It's such a good vibe here. Everyone's just loving life. So Land Rover is everywhere. What more could you want?
What's not to like? So did you have much prep to do to your Defender before you got here?
I did a few bits. Bitted the new awning. Tightened up the wheel nuts and things. Just standard stuff. Took the ready stuff about.
It sounds like you keep on top of stuff fairly well. You have got one job to do though this weekend before you leave, haven't you? Because you've been quite bad.
Oh, yeah, I need to change my side repeater before I leave. It broke on the way here. That's what we told the police. So that's what we told him. Yeah, I got a prohibition on the way in. The police were on the gate, making me do my indicators, lights, checking everything. They were putting in a lot of fees at the time. Anything that looked slightly modified, they were putting it in, and yeah, unfortunately I've got a prohibition for my side repeater, so
at least it's a nice easy fix. I'm sure there's a few people here who've got a much, much more extreme fix to do before they get to leave, so a side repeater isn't that bad in the grand scheme of things. So
just put it out there, when I turned up, I also got pulled over by the police, but my Land Rover passed with flying colours, so just say it.
Did they put the big stretchy gloves on for you though?
The big stretchy gloves?
Yeah.
No.
Just
no, they didn't.
Good once over.
And I didn't have to, bribe him or anything. So it's quite a good thing actually, the police are here doing the checks, because we all know that defenders are Matt shaking his head. Did you get pulled over, Matt? I almost felt like texting you, actually, just saying, yeah, you might want to. The thing is, it's a good thing, though, because they're literally trying to prevent Land Rovers getting stolen. We all know that particularly defenders are at risk all of the time. There are a number of measures that you can take to keep your Land Rover safe. Some people do it, some people will not. But your Land Rover is very nice. You've got bits and pieces on yours to keep it safe.
Yeah, I've got an automatic swivel lock and a pedal box, and that's quite good. I've got a few trackers in it to try and keep it safe, but other than that, they're quite easily unboltable, aren't they? Like, every little thing you have on it, unfortunately, it can just come off pretty easy, so...
It's about layering up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sort of what... We get a lot of questions about security, because a lot of people want to get into defender ownership. They're a bit worried that it might go walkabout overnight. And it is all about doing all you can. If you're going to spend money in any area of a defender when you first buy it, for crying out loud, get some security on it, because they, like as you just said, they are. If they're not easily stolen, they're easily stripped. So, but talk to us a little bit about what you've got on the go at the moment, because you do have some projects on the go, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a fair few Land Rovers. This was a situation I had yesterday talking about Land Rovers to the policeman. And I said, well, you know, it's like a drug, it's a bit addictive. And he gave me the eyes of like, what have you just said to me? I really like airport beetles as well. And then it changed the subject, it's fine. I'm not talking about drugs or anything like that, so.
That was an irrelevant comment, wasn't it?
I should have done it, but I was there with my shovel, digging a hole, it's fine. But no, I've got TD5 110, so that's my daily car. I've also got a Series 2A, which I'm restoring. So Galvy chassis, but everything sort of top end, I'm going to try and keep it the same sort of ratty patina. Some people say patina, other people say neglect. It's like a paint flaking.
It's a fine line,
and it's not pretty, but it's something that I think it's cool to keep it as it is. It looks cool. So, and then I've also got a Range Rover Classic. It was EFI. It's the first year of the EFI, the black system, but I've just converted it to twin cars because could not get the EFI to run right at all, just overfueling, and then it would die randomly, just couldn't get it to work. So yeah, twin carbs, much easier for me anyway to set that up and get that running nicely. And then also 101, board control.
Wow, so, this is the one I'm excited about. The 101 is so cool. So yeah. you obviously got quite a decent following on Instagram. So. If you want to catch up with what Lexi's doing, and the 101 is awesome. That's the one that I saw and I went, yeah, that's wicked. I must have a 101 at some point. Where can people follow you?
On Instagram at defender.lexi. You can follow everything on there. I haven't been posting as much, unfortunately, as I would have liked to recently, but it's just luck gets in the way, doesn't it?
Sure.
And you end up with my TD5, it constantly seems to have issues. So I can end up fixing that one and then putting the projects all to one side. So but yeah, they're all on there. So
so when did your like Land Rover passion start? Were you very, very young? Was it a family-owned thing? Was it generational?
Yeah, I think the first memory comes back from being a Discovery with my grandparents. They used to have me a few days in the week, and they bought a Discovery 1 from you, a Discovery 2 from you. I think the Discovery 1 was like that champagne gold colour. So it was quite nice.
That's an anniversary colour, isn't it?
Yeah, they did it in the Atlantis blue and the gold, white gold.
So it's an anniversary issue.
I didn't know that. It was cool. I think it then stemmed from there. When my dad had a Discovery, my mum then got a Defender 90 when I was a teenager. And I remember just sitting in the back of it on the bench seats and just thinking, this is what I want when I turn 17. But she didn't let me. She said, no, the brakes aren't good enough on a Defender. So instead she let me buy a 1965 air-cooled Beetle.
Hence why you don't know which is more dangerous, really.
I don't know.
I'm quite surprised by that. My parents were against me getting a Defender for my first car. When I actually went to look at it on the farm it was for sale on, the guy also had a 1.4 Polo for sale, and my dad was like, "You sure you don't want that? Are you sure you don't want that?" Like, not interested, mate. Get me out of Defender now, and I've never looked back, because it teaches you how to be a mechanic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And from there, obviously, you see other things, and you sort of pick them up. And like you say, it sounds like you've got enough to keep you going for a while, anyway.
Yeah, 100%. I think with the ongoing projects. Next thing to do with the Series 2A is brake lines, build up the brakes. And I'm still on the hunt for a nice bulkhead. I feel like I'm asking a big thing. But they do come up often. You see them on Facebook Marketplace, but by the time I've messaged the guy, often it's just, nope, sorry, it's sold. So, yeah, I'm a little bit of a Facebook Marketplace addict. I think that's kind of where I got my codex from. Facebook Marketplace, slightly addicted, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a dangerous place. I mean, yeah, I tend to go on there most days myself. And of course, the LRN classifieds, because if you go through our website and look at the classified section, lots of that stuff has never been seen by anybody else. And you do see some bargains, but we can't buy everything, can we? Because we'd end up in divorce. And then, you know, can I just introduce actually the lady that puts up with me every day? So my wife Louise, in fact, is, believe it or not, this is the first podcast she's actually listened to. Can you believe that?
That's amazing. Like,
they've absolutely thrown Louise under the bus there, Steve. Look.
Throw your wife under the bus. She looks all embarrassed now. But to be fair, you need to like keep something separate from your partner, don't you? You know, have your own interests. Like,
live
your own. Oh, yeah, she wasn't true enough, doesn't she? Really? So
This is girl power, right?
I was going to say, you've given the mic back to a female, so I'm only going to stand up for her.
Yeah, Martin, can you help me out here?
I don't think you've got a leg to stand on, to be honest, mate. My wife listens every week. So, sorry, Louise. It's great. It's great. We've really got a good little group together, haven't we, in our Barnet campsite. It's a really good dynamic, and it's always good fun. We love coming to Billings. It's great. So, 110 around the off-road course, yes or no?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I did Friday course as well.
Did you as well?
Yeah, I was out there yesterday. So my friends weren't too... they were interested by my driving style. I think speed and power just says it all for me. Mechanical sympathy, maybe low on the agenda.
Okay.
But fix it myself, it's fine. It'll be fine. You've got to use them, don't you, and have fun with them. But yeah, today's course and tomorrow. I think I'm going to go on tomorrow. I've done the mud run before, but everything was hated mud. So I might be a bit, I might miss that this time. But do everything else, all the river crossings, because I can flush it all out. Give it a good bath, basically. I think that would be the idea.
Yeah, I think unless you've been through the mud run in your own Land Rover, you've not properly experienced Billing. And my top tip is this. So when you go to your off-road course, you get two laps. On the first lap, do the mud run. On the second lap, avoid the mud run, but go through all the water, and it helps wash it down a bit, because you don't really want to be taking it all home, because it tends to stick to your Land Rover for the next year, really. You're permanently washing it out.
Yeah, I think it was last year. I went round with my friend Jubilee. So I didn't do the mud run last year. I did it the year before. And I thought, I do want to go through it. But her truck, she had an old 90. Jude went through it, and so much mud came in, and I was sat there and ended up getting caked. And it splashed like onto my face, all over. My cap fell on the floor, caked in mud, everything. I had to just walk into the shower afterwards to like rinse myself totally down to get it all off. But it was great fun. So,
there's a lot to be said for having your floor panels sealed up properly, isn't there? I learned that early on when I went through flood water in my 19. The entire interior got washed and the headlining was dripping on. But
we've all been there, I think, looking at
Yeah, there's some nodding heads. But the obviously Billing, the mud run is infamous. Also, the Billing dust. The Challenge Southwest guys are obviously doing their thing up on the hillside there. If you do want a passenger ride, £25 will get you two laps around that awesome challenge course in one of their absolutely mad off-road vehicles.
Lexi,
you haven't done it.
I haven't done it yet. No, I need to get out there, don't I?
Be
a passenger.
Yeah.
100%. Just experience them guys, like taking it to the max, really.
And all for charity.
All for charity. So that's amazing, isn't it? That's the best thing about it, I think. So.
Yeah, so they raise money over the course of today and tomorrow, passenger rides, and then they add it to the value of everything that happens tonight at 7 p.m. on, I think it'll be just outside there, the auction, the charity auction has grown in size, so just out here.
the entire showground will be here bidding on things, and I think last year they made something like £10,000 or £11,000 for charity, so it's absolutely fantastic. So each year they've actually managed to beat it, and this year it's for a diabetes charity, so we're focusing on development of studies to cure it. So it's not a case of if they can cure it, it's a case of when. So that's what the charity is today, and it's always something to do with somebody at the showground, so they will select them from next year from somebody that's affected by something. So will you is there anything you're going to bid on today, Martin?
Well, this is part of the magic of the charity auctions. You never know exactly what's going to be in it until you're stood there a few pints in and go, hang on, I really need that. Sticking your hand in the air, and before you know it, you're the owner of quite a lot of stuff. You know, again, it all goes to charity, so it doesn't really matter if you buy something you don't really need. That said, they have got, I know a lot of the traders here have donated quite valuable stuff, so for crying out loud, if you're camping over or if you're just staying late, don't miss it. It's going to be a really, really good... The auction is always mad busy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really, really fun part of the Saturday night here. And I do know one of the themes. So there are two passenger rides with Ed Cobley in Skippy 2.0. And that thing is rapid, probably one of the fastest race cars. That will fetch strong money. They tend to auction that towards the end, so people are well-fueled with beer and cider. And... going around that course at race speeds, this is probably the only place you can do it in the UK. It's such good fun. I've done it 3-4 years on the trot, and I've had a mic in my hand whilst doing it, screaming like a girl. It's really, really fun. But you should definitely do it.
I'm not sure I'm going to be screaming like a girl, though. I might be screaming like a man. Who knows?
Yeah, that's it, Lexi. You tell him.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm teasing. But Ed Cobley, he's a nuts driver and such a great person as well.
Yeah, we'll be having a chat with Ed later on the show and tell stage. Oh, yeah, that's a great time to plug the show and tell, isn't it? If you've got a Land Rover or any other 4x4, or maybe even a 6x6 that you want to show off to everyone else at the Billing Off Road Show, please come and find us at the LRM stand or even after this podcast. And we'll tell you where you need to be at 1 o'clock, and we'll come and have a chat with lots of people and lots of lovely vehicles on the mound. So yeah, anything to add, Lexi?
I think that's it. I hope just everyone has an amazing time at the show. It's great to be on here. Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. Thank you ever so much for giving up your time to appear on the LRM podcast. Please do give Defender Lexi, what's your Instagram one more time?
Defender.Lexi.
Defender.Lexi. Give a round of applause, please. Thank you ever so much for coming up. You've been a great guest. Okay, you can't put it off any longer. Come on then, Matt, let's have you. Please give it up for Matt Allcroft, aka Fitter Matt. You may know him off of the internet. Matt, how's it going? You've actually come in your Defender again, haven't you? It's the second show you've made it to in your 110.
It's because I haven't used it in between the two.
Oh, saving it. Very good. So going back to May, I suppose, you came to our event at LRM Live at Malvern. It was a bit of a stressful time for you, wasn't it?
Just a little bit. Turned up 2 days late? Just about made it.
A day late, yeah.
Yeah, spent the day in the workshop, just about got it for an MOT. Luckily my friend owns a local test station. Not for a friendly test, just for a late test. But yeah, got it tested, trailer on, Series 1 on the trailer, straight to you guys.
I was going to say, you're going to mention the Series 1 in a bit, you've brought it up already. Quite an exciting thing, really. You brought that to LRM Live and we had a good look around it. Very, very cool, short wheelbase, open top, and a 2-litre BMC, isn't it?
Yeah, 2.2 BMC engine, famous meaning canal boats, vans, various horrible things. But yeah, that is being raffled currently and ends tomorrow night. We're drawing it at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
There you go. So if you fancy winning yourself a diesel-powered Series 1, that is what you need to do. And where can people enter that?
So tweedle.com, go on there, it's the first thing that will come up. It's £20 a ticket. I think there's only about 400 tickets left. We only sold 1,700, so it's pretty good odds.
Very good odds indeed. Yeah, I'm tempted to have a little flutter myself. I'm not normally someone who goes for raffles, but I do quite fancy a Series 1. So give us a little bit about your background with Land Rovers, if you would.
So it starts here, basically. So my dad was a trader. He sold tools on these things. So I got dragged every weekend out to the shows, steam rallies, Land Rover shows. But of course, I think I was about 4 or 5 when we started. The most interesting ones to come on were the Land Rover shows. So I could toddle off and watch the off-road course, was more interested in the steam engine at the time, which they might be competing for the interest now. But yeah, so I was dragged here. I used to go and park myself out by the mudroom when I was a kid. And yeah, back now with my own Land Rover.
It's exactly, it's that seed that gets sown so young, isn't it? And people, you know, just 100% on board with Land Rovers, and they do get under your skin. But you were saying, you told me a little while ago, that the most people have like a Lamborghini Countach or a Ferrari F360 on their bedroom wall. You had a 110 double cab.
I did, a dark green 110 double cab, which during COVID of all things, I managed to buy one. So yeah, here it is now. It's come a full circle. I mean, I've got the sports car as well. I couldn't resist that, but yeah, and I just keep seeing to buy more of the things.
It is easily done, isn't it? Steve, what have you got a question from that? Because we sort of chilled out, didn't we, at LRM Live, but we didn't get really a chance to interrogate him properly in the arena like we promised. So I think now is the time.
I think it probably is. So I first discovered you on, dare I say, TikTok, because I'm, you know, obviously down with the kids. So on TikTok, it's Fitter Matt.
Yeah.
And you're probably known on TikTok, well, for saying things that you ought not to say. So he's on his best behaviour here, because we're at a family Land Rover show. So where do you get your quirks from? How do you, is that your natural way, or do you, is it like an act? Is it your character, your persona?
Can't give away all the secrets.
It's basically a full day's worth of frustration built up and saved into a 60-second video, just so I don't upset someone. From now, I'm working for myself again on my own. It's not too bad. That's why they've tamed down a bit now. But when I was in a corporate environment and I couldn't say the things I wanted to say, it all built up and built up, and yeah, it turns out the internet's a good place to let these things out, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you're everyone should check out Fitter Matt on the socials, because he is hilarious. He's a proper funny guy. I'm sure he won't mind me saying that. Probably best not to have kids around when they watch your videos.
Well, they might pick up some new phrases. They might pick up a few warnings as well about certain members of society.
Yeah, true.
I mean, one of the things you do when you finish your videos, and you say, "I see thee," which is something I found myself signing off on an email to Martin the other day. "I'll see thee." It's just a really kind of northern saying, isn't it? So you're obviously getting out there. You're getting into people's psyches.
It was when I was writing the article for you, trying to write without being northern. And the odd bits I did slip in there, the Apple spell checker was getting very confused with trying to keep up.
No, it's all good, and it's that voice. That's what people, I like to think, still love about Land Rover Monthly, is we have a fantastic team of contributors, which we are adding to. There's some fresh faces. And there's another hint over there as well. So yeah, it's exciting, but everyone has that individual voice. It's not, I won't go on a rant about AI, but it's important.
No, not much.
I'm not going to do it, but it's really important that everyone, you know, has their own character and has their own opinions, and you've certainly got some of them. And you see that does come across in the pages of the mag, which we're super proud of, and long may it continue. But so you say you're working for yourself now, you're a self-employed mechanic, but you've dabbled in a few other bits and pieces of your time, haven't you?
Basically, every few years, the autism squirrels in my head kick in, and I'll go from driving a digger, and I'll go and do a bit of farming again, back to being a mechanic, and then the cycle will start again. It just...
That also keeps it fresh.
That's it. You've got to keep doing these different things, haven't you? You can't stare at the same four walls every day. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's good to get out to things like this. It's what makes sitting behind a laptop for quite a few days of the year worth it. It really is, like these events, meeting people, having a chat, getting selfies on the salmon sofa. If you haven't already taken a picture, if you're a serial Land Rover Monthly podcast listener, the sofa will be back on the stand once we wrap up here. So by all means, stand by, and for some reason, people seem to love taking their pictures on it. But so, Land Rover-wise, do you work on much? Do you find yourself beneath many discoveries in your self-employed freedom?
Well, I'm friends with... So where I live, it's a small valley, and there's only two other garages at the minute. And they seem to have taken it upon themselves to send every Defender and series Land Rover in the valley to me. And I'm getting a bit bored of it. I ended up doing a Mercedes, some ball joints on a Mercedes a couple of days ago. I'm just like, this is so easy. Like, this is just made to be worked on. And then you go back to doing the CV joints and setting up knuckles on a Land Rover, and you just, no, back to this again.
So you're working a lot on the old stuff. So what's your opinion, now we're going to get some opinions, on modern Land Rovers, so post-2016, shall we say?
It seems like Land Rover have got one good engineer and 14 terrible ones. And the good one will have strokes of genius that are genius. And then the 14 terrible ones will just make up for that by being completely incompetent and ruining perfectly good designs. So, for example, on the Discovery 2 TD5, they're a pain to lead up, so the header tank's lower than the back of the engine. So they make it so you can detach the header tank, raise it up when you're filling them, easy to bleed. They give you enough slack on the hoses, just makes life simple. And then the absolute twonk who designed put the TDV8 into the L322, made it so you have to take the engine mounts off and jack the entire engine up to get the rear injector out.
That's and quite a serious commitment.
On modern cars, injectors are pretty much a serviceable item. You're doing them every 80, 90,000 miles. You shouldn't have to go to, 3 or 4 hours labour? To be able to taking it out when literally a hole in the side of the battery box with a rubber bung in it, or even a dent that my old L322 may now have from a decent sized hammer, it's literally half an inch of clearance that you need. And some utter pillar just omitted to make it doable.
Perhaps I never expected him to get to 80 or
90. I was going to say, once they're out of warranty, they're all about the labour costs, aren't they? But I do feel your pain. I've done a few injectors and TDV8s in my time in the dealer, and yeah, you just think, you find yourself with your head in your hands, just questioning why. But the engineers you mentioned, it's a shame. I do agree with you. I think the Land Rover did have some strokes of genius over the last sort of couple of decades, but then unfortunately, one of their top engineers certainly wasn't working on the engine side of things. So we spoke to a gentleman earlier who's got an E-Pace or an F-Pace with a 2-litre Ingenium in it, and I did think to myself,
It's ticking time bomb.
Get rid of it. Anyway, we're not going to dwell on the negatives. How are you finding building so far then?
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Yeah, it's really good. It's bloody warm. But yeah, it's a cracking show. There's the right people here. I'm going to go and get a Benny and Hart in a minute from our friends at Octagon.
Yeah. You can't go before us.
I'm getting in there first this time. But yeah, I've just been speaking. So I've had a good chat with Luke at LOF. I've been in contact with Alive this week. I put a picture up of my Defender towing a 3-ton digger complaining about it, and within 10 minutes a little notification had popped up, I can help you with that, and a rather large invoice later, and it's going to have some power soon.
Yeah, they do fantastic work at Alive. In fact, most of the Land Rover tuners around now are all at the top of their game, but my Freelander's been mapped by Alive, and it's really, really woken it up, the Freelander 2. Just a usable amount of power and a nice gob of torque, so you're not changing down all the time, it's right up hills now. So yeah, I think you'll be very, very happy with that extra grunt from the TD5. Done a few miles though, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just clicked over 280,000, so I figure I might as well blow it up in style. Bigger turbo and all the other goodies. But I just liked how they actually listened to what you want.
Yeah,
they're not just giving you a generic map with you sat next to them that they've stolen off someone else, copied and pasted to the ECU. It's, they ask you what you're going to be using the vehicle for. So, for example, because I'm going to be using it for towing, I'm not interested in speed. They're going for a smaller turbo, so the boost comes in lower in the rev range, so it's better for setting off. It's tailored for what I want the vehicle to do, which it's worth paying that little bit extra for, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I had the privilege of going to Alive. I'm not sure if they're still at the same premises I went to years and years ago. They were in Louth. I think they might
still
be
out there. Yeah, still there, yeah.
And they did my TD5 when I had my 90. I drove all the way up there with those smart boxes, they're called, like a diesel tuning box. Someone had scotch-locked into the injector loop. And I got there and it was misfiring, and Gary looked at it and he went, "What have you done to that?" And I said, "I can't be charged with this crime." but one of the Scotch locks had chewed through one of the injector wires, so it was running on four. And he repaired the wiring and he remapped it, and oh my word, what a night and day difference from really laggy and smoky to nice, clean, crisp power band life. It was fantastic, so yeah, you can't go wrong. Some fantastic traders here today, and in, of course tomorrow, I think we should probably mention. Are there any that have caught your eye that you're going to go and have a chat with?
We've just bought a lovely new dog lead from Exmoor Trim.
Oh, good stuff.
And yeah, there's a few bits and pieces. I was looking at the ORE new sidesteps they've done. They're very smart. Yeah, other than that, I'm going to try and keep my hand in my pocket a little bit, because I think Gary's just took all my money for the new... Because as soon as you mention turbo, and then, well, you might as well have an intercooler as well, because you need that. And then you might as well have all these different sensors, have them new, because you don't want to put an old sensor in, and it's just spiraled just a little bit. And then obviously I have to go and get a new clutch off Luke. Otherwise, that's going to explode the minute I fit all this new power. So, yeah, it's been an expensive week.
Yeah, these things do tend to snowball, don't they? But it's better that you, you know, you do it once, spend the money where you need to, and it will give you years and years of faithful service, I'm sure, or as many years as you can hope to get through from a 20-odd-year-old Defender. But Steve, you're here in your 90, aren't you? Tell us a little bit about your camping setup, because as well as Jimmy Deville, who's in his very, very cool white Defender with the roof tent, you've brought your trailer along, eh?
Yeah, this trailer's been in my head for quite a few years, so... Basically, our camping setup used to be a tent on the ground, and it progressed to a roof tent. So I got a front runner roof tent, was on the front runner roof rack, but because we are working at shows, we found that by the time you've got your camping set up, you need your car and you need to go and do a job. So I quickly converted that to buying a Penman trailer, which is the follow-on really from a Sankey trailer, and built like a pod on top, and made some roof bars, put a front runner roof rack on top of that, put a front runner tent on top of that, and then an awning on the side. So that is like our HQ. And to say it a bit windy last night was an understatement. And
that was just Steve.
And that was just me, yeah, a few beers later. But you do notice the wind in the roof tent. Have you converted Matt to a roof tent, or are you very much a ground tent man?
I'm very much a hotel man, if I get my choice. But yeah, I've got a roof tent. I've used it when I've been forced to, but I much prefer my Premier in breakfast when I wake up in the morning. Not to say your catering wasn't excellent at the LRM show, but yeah, I do like my power shower and nice breakfast when I wake up in the morning.
I have to say, Billy, and obviously we like to think at our own events, toilets and showers make a show, don't they? Everything else is great, but if you've got disgusting toilets and no showers, then it's just terrible. You'll be pleased to hear the ones at Billing are not only plentiful, but also immaculate. So yeah, top marks to Richard and Sarah Arrowsmith. Absolutely called it out of the bag. What a show, to be fair. Look how busy it is already. Everyone outside, a few people enjoying a little beverage already. And it's only going to get better, isn't it, Steve? We're doing show and tell at 1 o'clock.
We are. I'm really looking forward to it, actually. It's always, we just don't know what we're going to get. So none of it's planned. People come along with all weird and wonderful things, and it tests our knowledge, actually. So we don't know everything there is to know about Land Rovers or other 4x4s, but it's all about the people. So there is some really interesting stories around why people have got these Land Rovers, why they come to the show, how long they've been coming to the show. And it's a real sort of, it's just about the community. And that's what our magazine's about, isn't it? It's about the people. Living the Land Rover life?
Absolutely, yeah. And you can sign up. We've already mentioned it once, but we'll shout about it again for anyone who may have joined us. Because why not? It's our podcast. We'll do what we like.
Yeah.
LRM tent is along the front, right opposite the Challenge Southwest guys in the arena. If you want to come and grab a bargain, we've got an absolutely stonking subscription deal on. Year's worth of magazine, a CV work light, which you can use for, you know, working on your Land Rover, or camping. They're brilliant for camping as well. And a very, very stylish Land Rover hat, which Steve is once again doffing. So, yeah, there's plenty to do, there's plenty to see. I think we'll probably wrap it up there. Matt, thank you ever so much for joining us. If people want to follow you on the internet and laugh at all your mechanical mishaps and swearing at engineers, where can they find you?
So on TikTok and YouTube, it's Fittermatt. Instagram, MattAllcroft13.
Top stuff. Yeah, you won't regret it. An absolutely fantastic account to follow. So I'll sign off by saying goodbye.
Yeah, and I'll say, I'll see you.
No, I'm saving that.
Oh, what? You teed it up. I thought I'd knock it down.
Oh yeah, well you did that.
Yeah, thanks. I was doing pretty well. Didn't
the catchphrase, Matt.
Oh, sorry, I'm going to sue you later. I'll sue thee.
If you own a Land Rover, Range Rover or Jaguar and have had trouble with your diesel particulate filter, the DPF, then listen carefully. Lee Day, a major UK law firm, is leading a group claim against Jaguar Land Rover for allegedly faulty DPF systems in diesel models made between 2015 and 2023. They already represent nearly 20,000 Land Rover, Range Rover and Jaguar drivers in a no-win, no-fee compensation claim. To see if your Land Rover qualifies for the claim, visit leedaylaw.info/JLRDPF today.
Right, ready? Day two, Steve.
Yeah, day two, definitely very, very warm in here. I'm having a bit of a hot flush. But yeah, what a great show, and nice to see people, all the alcoholics in the room.
It's like Weatherspoons on a Monday morning, isn't it?
Weatherspoons any time of day. But yeah, here we are, day two, the LRM podcast on the Salmon Sofa.
The legendary Salmon Sofa, our I think, LRM podcast groupie, Greg King, with the Save the Salmon Sofa custom-made t-shirt. Big up Greg King. Previous guest on the LRM podcast, a round of applause. The dedication to the Salmon Sofa has been fantastic. Loads of people taking selfies, and it's what a reception it's had. I think it'll have to come back next year. Anyway, we've got Defender Lexi back on as a guest because she's got an update from the mud run, haven't you, Lexi?
Yes, I do. I broke my truck this morning, just a little bit, going through the mud run. Shock bush at the bottom has gone, so totally deteriorating. Luckily, though, got back to camp and everyone seems to have all the parts I need to fix it. I've come here and they're like, yeah, don't stress about it, we'll fix it while you're gone, which feels weird. It feels odd. I've got a little pit crew working for me, but that's really great in some ways, but just weird. Yeah.
What's not to like? So you've basically come swanning over here to have a chat with us again, and you've already got like a team of mechanics getting that shock bush sorted out. Have you had any other casualties, or was it just that?
Just that I know of so far. Last time I did the mud run, killed the alternator, so I'm really, touch wood, can't see any wood around me, unfortunately, but touching my head instead.
The base of this.
The base, the salmon sofa. We're going to touch the base. There we go. But yeah, last time was the alternator. Fingers crossed this time, no other casualties.
Yeah, the infamous mud run here has taken a lot of Land Rover's lives, haven't they? And going through the deep mud and water does test the vehicle. Shock bushes, they just get hooked up, don't they, underneath. But better than the top one, if you broke the top.
Yeah. Easier to change.
Easier to change, yeah. Could be worse.
Yeah.
How's your indicator?
Oh, yeah, indicator update, please.
Well, I've a side repeater update. Exmoor Trim have been my heroes. They've split a kit for me and have given me a Y-Pack side repeater to replace today, so I'm no longer a criminal. I can go back onto the road totally legally and won't get pulled by the police.
So prison sentence has been suspended. You're off the hook for now. The side repeater has been restored to full working order. It will be interesting to see how many Land Rovers came here in legal condition, but won't be leaving in legal condition. Hopefully not many. But yeah, all good fun. And we're happy to be here. We had a cracking day yesterday, didn't we, Steve?
We did. It was very, very full on. So obviously we're based ourselves on the Land Rover monthly stand, and lots and lots of people coming to see us and just to say hello, and people who've listened to us on the podcast. Really, really good fun. And nice to meet people. Obviously, I've never met yourself, actually, Lexi, and you're known quite a lot for being on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm quite active on Instagram, more so than anywhere else, I'd say. So to be very honest with you, I hadn't heard of you either. So I've heard of Martin.
His reputation precedes him in some ways.
So basically yesterday I said about something like screaming like a girl, and you're making me trying to feel uncomfortable. It seems to be this is what we've got now. So who am I? I don't even know who I am half the time.
Well, I feel like Lexi thoroughly broke the ice by making you look an utter mug on the podcast yesterday. Top work, Lexi. We love to see it. I'm sure everyone will love to hear it as well. Good stuff. What's today got in store for you then?
I think once I get back, cleaning the truck off a bit more thoroughly needs a bit of a clean out of the radiator, otherwise I'm slightly worried about mud getting caked in there and overheating. Slightly tempted to do the course again, just to take me through the water, and maybe bypass kind of everything else that could break something again. I feel like my friends won't be so kind next time if I'm like, I've broken something again. So yeah, they might not be so helpful, but it'll be fine. Just get it through the water, flush it all out. It's basically a bath.
Yeah, I think I gave this advice actually on the show and tell yesterday. The course is quite gruesome. You've got a lot of heat, slow moving, lots of mud build up, and quite often you'll see Land Rovers broken down at the side of the A1 en route home from this show, and that is down to overheating. So I would always recommend doing all the mud stuff first and then the water run second. Ask me how I know.
I was going to say, Lexi, you mentioned you had an alternator failure last year. It's just any kind of off-roading that involves mud, especially if you're having to go in with a bit of commitment. And I've seen the video of you doing the mud run this morning. Commitment, the commitment was there. It just forces that grit into absolutely everything, doesn't it? So, yeah, certainly if you're not having a rinse through the lakeside off-road course today, as soon as you get home, get that hose pipe out and just blast that mud and grit out of absolutely everything you can to help things last longer, because it will. But what's in the pipeline for your Defender then? Is it pretty much as you want it, or have you got future mods planned?
I think the Defender now itself was pretty, I think we're there. Got 35s, roof tent, a nice roof rack, a very nice new awning I've just put on. Bush Company 270, freestanding. It's lovely. It's something that Boris the Defender, we spoke about it at last show season, and I don't think he's been tempted yet to do it himself, fit one. But I think we can peer pressure him into it today, maybe. The guys are there, so spend some money.
Yeah, Jack's up next on the podcast, so we'll peer pressure challenge him into it then. It's always what it's all about, isn't it? And the mud run, I was flicking through Facebook this morning. There's been some, like, all manner of different vehicles go through. I saw a whole family crammed into an 88-inch series, which had mud up to the door handles, and they were very stationary. But, yeah, some cracking footage and some amazing photos to be had from the mud run. So get on socials and have a little look, and I'm sure you'll have to see some absolute spectacles on there. Steve, have you done a mud run before?
Yeah, I have. Over the years, obviously this off-road show has been going for, 30 years, and when it was held on the Aquadrome over there, this was always the overspill camping, and your off-road course was always here. I first did it about 29 years ago. I know I don't look old enough, but it was a long time ago, in a 2A lightweight. And, I've even done it on telly, and you've never even heard of me.
You've never heard of famous Steve. He's been on the telly, don't you know? What's your claim to fame then, Steve? Because you never mention it.
No, I've never been on Find It, Fix It, Drive It or Shed and Buried with our friend Henry Cole. So, funny enough, we did a day's filming here with Richard and the organiser of the show, Richard Arrowsmith. And basically, Sam Lovegrove and Henry Cole came along. They bought a V8 lightweight Land Rover, sort of a hybrid conversion. And the idea was they fixed it up and did something with it. So they actually came here. I organised them to come here, went off-road, and we did the mud run at the end of the day when they had got all the footage. But it was a long, long day for about 10 minutes of TV. So it's amazing what goes into producing like content. But the off-road course there, I've been through it a number of times, but I have learnt a lesson. The last time I did it, I worked out that because a diff lock hadn't been used for quite some time, it was seized up. So the linkage had seized, so I got stuck, and it's quite embarrassing. That is on them. I think it's on some form of social media somewhere, me being dragged out, my mate posted it, and that was that. But good fun.
It's a bad way to find out your centre diff lock doesn't work, isn't it? Being up to your axles.
Always go prepared.
With the cameras about, looking a bit silly. But, Lexi, thank you ever so much for coming back for day two of the Billing Off Road Show. Thanks for the update, the side repeater update, and the shock bush update. Hopefully when you wander back to camp, you'll have a fully refreshed rear axle suspension. So
front axle.
Sorry, I misunderstood. It's normally the rears that go.
No, front rear side.
Was it?
Yeah, right, so okay. I assumed it was back.
Yeah, weird. But so if people want to follow you and see what you're up to and watch your mud run footage, because it is excellent, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at defender.lexi. Yes, so hopefully get
all the content there soon. So thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. Thanks for coming on again. Please do give an applause for Defender Lexi. Cheers, Lexi.
Thank you.
Next up, come on, Jack. Come and have a seat on the salmon sofa.
Oh, I feel privileged.
I can tell you're look at that.
I think after yesterday, I'm salmon coloured as well, maybe even darker tone.
I think we're all a little bit salmon pink today. We had a good old crack in the beer tent last night. Yeah, so yeah. Good to see you again. We love running into Jack at shows. He's always got a smile on his face. So, yeah. How are you getting on?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. It's been a good show. It's nice to be on the ORE stand. You know, I didn't come to Billing last year. I did a few other shows, but it's good to be back. And we went out in the Santana trophy truck on the course already. So that was really good fun. And no roof, no doors. So through the water, got cooled down a few times, but it's looking like a good show. And the turn up's been great, actually. It's nice to see new brands, new faces and people saying hello. So it's been really good fun. How about you guys? Enjoying it?
Yeah, really good. It's funny you mentioned, was Jeremy driving the Santana truck?
Yes, he was, unfortunately.
My God, I hope you held on tight.
There was no jumping though this time, thankfully.
I was going to say,
what? You,
keep an eye. Oh, really? There was jumping?
No, but I say thankfully, but it wouldn't be my fun, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of photos of the Santana Trophy 110 built by Ian at IRB, Chris, Jeremy, a lot of people had a hand in that. Very, very impressive vehicle. In fact, it won Best Modified at LRM Live this year in May. It didn't. It won the Special Award at LRM Live in May.
Best Built or something.
I do apologise. Yeah. Hell of a vehicle, and there's loads of really cool photos of that online being launched skywards with Jeremy at the wheel, looking both absolutely like he's having a blast, yeah. But also this is going to hurt when it comes back down.
Absolutely, yeah. It was impressive to see it. I would have loved to have gone there. It looked really cool, and I'd like to do that one day, maybe on a bike or something as well in the desert. But if I'm hot enough at this show, I can't imagine just like out of the desert. And I don't know if, I think Boris is probably over GVM anyway, so probably would sink into the sand anywhere I went. So I'd like to do something like that, a bit of a rally or an event to take it on. It'd be pretty cool, actually. Yeah, I'd like it. And yeah, it looked an amazing trip. It looked really cool.
Yeah, you mentioned Boris. Boris is your defender, isn't he?
Yes.
He's actually graced the cover of LRM. Yeah. You graced the cover of LRM the month I started on the magazine.
Yeah.
We had a camp out, didn't we? Down at the side of the river. Sort of quite close to where we work, and it was freezing. Pat was there as well. Pat, the previous editor, and yeah, you guys all nice and snug with your diesel heaters and your roof tents, and yeah, it was a bad time for me. It was pretty chilly.
Yeah, it was funny. I felt honoured to be passing over the torch, to be there for the moment. Pat was there with me for the camp, and then you came in the morning, and he left, and it's like it felt like a good passing over moment. But it was funny because it was frosty all morning, and then it was about to sort of lighten up, but the fog just stayed all day. Tom, the photographer, was great. We just had fun. It was a good day, wasn't it? Just, I think your interview starts really calming, which is really nice, and then had a good day talking about the truck, trying to go up some grassy moments and started sliding back. And then you've got a sort of a scared face on, you know, it's not a great situation to be. You look a bit nervous.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't manage it, unfortunately, but that was great.
It made for good pictures, didn't it?
It was. And it was a good day, and it was a nice article to see. It was a real privilege to have it. It's still the top picture on my Instagram. It's a sort of tick box bucket list moment to be on the front of LRM.
Oh,
really cool.
Brilliant. Well,
yeah,
very worthy of it as well. Steve, you've seen Jack's Defender in person, haven't you? What do you reckon? It's a really neat setup, isn't it?
Yeah, well, actually it is. We were looking in the back of it yesterday, and it does look a really lovely place to spend some time. And even since it was on the cover of LRM, you've done like loads of work, because you didn't start with like a new bulkhead?
Yes, so the camp had stayed the same the whole time for 3 years. I'm amazed it's lasted that long. But yeah, since then, all of the non-superficial, solid stuff that you've had to spend the money on, and something that makes a truck really worth something, because people have asked me, what do you think it's worth? And I think until you've got a solid foundation, a new chassis and a new bulkhead, you have no idea. So now, 2 years apart, which was not really planned, some circumstances came up. I did the bulkhead and chassis together. Total about 6 days, the job in total, and it's an interesting one, because again it looked exactly the same, but the peace of mind was there, which is really nice. The idea of having the DDS and Richards bits in there absolutely sorted for the next, I don't know, hopefully what we were saying, like beyond my lifetime, hopefully it's nice to have them sorted, you know. And it's just you know, I've always said it would be no point doing what I do to it if it was a financial thing, if I want to sell it. Yeah, it'd be a waste of money. So hope it's gonna be with me forever. Golden Generations, and it's definitely a passion project and a part of the family now. That's why it's got a name.
Well, yeah, assuming you name a Land Rover, I think it becomes part of you, and it definitely is part of you, because you know, you've got to ask, you know, are people following you, or are they just following the Land Rover?
Exactly.
And the fact that you've built the vehicle's worth more to you than it is in a financial worth. Let's be honest, yeah. None of us do this for the money, do we? We do it because we love the vehicles. You've spent a lot on it, in time and effort. And the fact that it still looks like you could just jump in it and go around the world, and that, you're ready to go now, aren't you?
Yeah, I sort of have an opinion of it that I love it and I want it to be as solid as possible, but I also like the idea that it's not a show pony at all. The side panels look like someone's trying to break out of it before I bought it. And there's scratches all down it, and it's not clean here. It's just ready to go. So I like the idea that you can go anywhere, stay anywhere. And also, it's sort of, I think the one thing that I had no idea it would like ever, people would want to follow it. But I think what people like is the DIY aspect, brush painting it, and just like using secondhand parts as much as possible. And then just enjoying it and trying to do as much as, obviously there are a lot of things I can't do, but I think people like the, you know, accessible side of it and being able to do it yourself and then just using it. Because, you know, if you did a full respray, full everything, and did a full restoration rather than a rolling restoration, when you've done it, you're like, oh, maybe I won't take it on anymore. Which I might be like, I just flipped it the other day and I smashed the old chassis, but now the new chassis, you wouldn't want to do that. So there's a hindrance to it as well, but it's lovely to see now, for sure, ready to go.
Yeah, you've recently refurbished your Land Rover, Martin, haven't you? And you know, featured on the LRM YouTube page. And building a Land Rover, essentially, or restoring one on a gravel driveway. We've had a lot of feedback about that, because people think that we're going to be in like a really polished workshop with all the tools and all the lighting. But we're the same as everybody else. We're on gravel driveways and limited tools, and for me, limited experience. But my good mate Martin helps.
Martin.
And you know, just it's authentic.
Yeah.
People like
that. Oh yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
So day to day then, what is it you do as a day job? Because you've got quite an interesting job, haven't you?
Wow. Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it a lot, and there's a good tie-in. And I think a lot of people think that I do the Boris side as a job, because I try and post as much as possible. But I'm a filmmaker, photographer generally, and in lockdown, that's when I started the channel, because I had all these cameras. I just spent a lot of money on kit, and then COVID hit, and I was like, what can I do with these cameras now? So I started the channel, and I think people just, again, like I said, I think the sort of almost Top Gear challenge car nature of the truck sort of just brought people in. But yeah, doing filmmaking photography, which you mentioned it last night, worked with Ben Fogle, the presenter who wrote the book, and he's went out of his truck the other day, and just basically any job that comes up, I'm sort of spoiled now, because like anything that comes up is meeting different people every day and using your kit and doing photography and any social media stuff. It's just nice to meet loads of different people, go to different places, and it's a good time. People always come and go, oh, that's where the photos look quite good. I was like, oh, well, thanks. Yeah, it is my job. So hopefully it sort of ties in quite nicely to Instagram, and means that you sort of, it helps the other way, because you do a YouTube and Instagram, and I do a lot of social media filming and work. It means you have an idea of the landscape as well, which is quite a good time, really. It's enjoyable. It works well.
So in terms of like travel, you like to go on trips with Boris.
Yeah.
What's next? What have you got planned?
Well, it's an interesting one. I've had that a few times this weekend. House and new dog that is sipping you every time you drive 3 minutes away from the house is limiting long distance travel. We did have a weekend plan in Wales, and we saw the idea of going up Strata and snipe our puppy just being sick constantly and us as a bit of a hindrance. So in terms of forward planning, there is not anything in the near future, bar like local, Dartmoor, usual stuff, which I really enjoy anyway. But our dream things in the next few years would be like West Coast of Ireland, which I've not done yet, and then a longer Europe trip. Our friends went down to Portugal and the Tech and a few of the ladies down there, and the wildness compared to what you get here, I think that would be amazing, the Europe trip, but it's quite broad really. But I love Wales, I love Scotland, and I like Northumberland would be one to do as well. I like it.
Yeah, no, Northumberland is a sort of county that people kind of miss out sometimes. They go to Yorkshire, they know Cumbria, they know Scotland, but Northumbria is like
Yeah. It's kind of those flares under the radar, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Gem almost, yeah.
Yeah, I've not been there. It looks like a bit of a hidden gem. Obviously, living down in Devon, you know what it's like. Yeah, it's a long way. We actually had to, like, last year we were going, had to sort of, we only had 5 days, so we went, actually, let's not spend 2 days travelling. Let's go a little bit nearer and have a longer time there. And living in Devon, you know what it's like. Overpopulated in the summer, so going somewhere that's a little bit less trodden in the summer would be lovely to go to, and it looks beautiful as well.
Yeah, Land Rovers are providing escapism for just the thing, and the fact that you can go under the radar with your Land Rover. You can pretty much camp anywhere, couldn't you?
Yeah,
pull up and just camp incognito. Ideal. So I'll hand you over to Martin.
I was going to say, just touching on, you mentioned your film work and photography. There's a couple of brands here that you've worked with currently, I guess. Let's just chat about them for a moment.
Yeah, so I guess I'm here with RE. Usually I come to these shows on the sands, and it's a lovely, as you know, when you come over, there's always beers coming out. And
it's impossible to go thirsty at ORE's.
Yeah, it's very nice. I think it really works to have a sort of camp set up at the show, and Chris was one of the first people. He really trusted me. He actually put my email in the bin when he got it from me the first year. And he actually like, man, let's try it. And then it's, 5 years later, been good friends now, and it's a good brand to work with. But yeah, next Exmoor Trim, and it's just, I really value, when you work with a brand, it has to be a brand you want to work with first, then you can work together. And it means that anything you have, you don't have to, you know, I'd never take money for anything. And it means that if you're promoting a product, that's good. You can only say good things about it, and it's lovely, and it's I think the relationship there, I'm probably quite bad at being formal as a, you know, in a professional manner, so I never, any brand I work with, it always turned into a sort of a friendly mates thing, which is lovely, and I value that more than just any financial or product based thing. But yeah, they're great brands to work with, and all British brands, which is really good.
Yeah, I was going to say, we always have a bit of laugh with Chris, don't we? Chris, the whole team, and of course, Lauren at Aquarius, Oil Covers, all the other guys. Yeah, just a lovely bunch of people. You know, they pop up at most of the shows, and we have phone calls in the week, stuff like that. Yeah, really, really good bunch. And like you say, it works. People, you know, you're camping on the stand, you've got your stuff out, people can look around it, and it just works, doesn't it?
It does. It's funny, people say to me, isn't that like, is that bolted down with that lockdown? Usually I have the doors open, the windows open, my camera's like just tucked away a little bit. It's nice, these shows have a great sort of relaxing feeling, right? And just nice to just let people want to go sit in Boris and go, look, it's really small in here. Yeah, I'm not going to build one of these ever. But it's a lovely, this show especially is like a lovely feeling, and it's nice, very trustworthy. It's nice to let people see Boris and have it open the whole time and yeah, enjoy it really.
Well, Jack, thank you ever so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for your time. If people want to follow you and see what you're up to, and Boris, of course, where can they do that?
On Instagram and YouTube under Boris the Defender. And I apologise for the lack of posting and the quality when you actually watch it. So I do apologise a lot.
I don't think you've got anything to apologise for. Have you seen our productions on YouTube?
Great.
And also, I did say to Jack, I messaged him a couple of days ago and asked if he'd like to come on the podcast. And obviously, your background in filmmaking, audio, you know, you've got the expertise. I did say, prepare to cringe when you see the production qualities on the podcast. Yeah. So thanks for putting up with us.
No problem at all. It's all about the story, you guys. I've been following ever since. I think me and Steve spoke about the podcast before you actually started. And I was amazed to see it. I'm so impressed how your first one was like your 10th, and I'm really enjoying listening to it. It's absolutely fantastic. It's more about the stories anyway than the tech, isn't it?
We hope so. Thank you ever so much for coming on, Jack. Really good to see you. Round of applause, please, for Jack Watson and Boris the Defender. Right, we've got two more guests. Who wants to go first? Give us a wave. Come on, Dale or Zach? Oh, they're doing rock, paper, scissors. Zach, who chooses? Oh, we've got Zach. I couldn't tell if you were rock, paper, scissoring to see who was going to go next or who was going to choose if he came last.
I don't think we agreed that either, so.
It's an incredible on-the-fly game of choosing who was going to come up next. For those listening at home, obviously, you won't... Oh, no, you will see the visuals. If you go on socials and YouTube, you'll see the quite impressive little stage setup we've got. I think it's fair to say that we did a last minute order to some company to get some banners. I think, you know, it's really up the professionalism.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. I've been listening to the podcast for a little while now. It's great to be involved. And I think the things that you've done on the podcast have been
yeah, awesome to follow along to. And it's perfect when you're doing trips down to shows. I'll drop you guys on and listen to what Whopper you've got to say this week. So it's been, yeah, it's been really great. Yeah, loving the podcast.
Oh, thanks very much. Very kind of you to say. You've actually you've had a hand in my latest purchase, actually, because it was you I was chatting to when we met at Chris's to go off to do the day at the Smallest Cog with Richard Hammond. We turned up on time. Everyone else was late, and we were chatting about Land Rovers, as we do. And I said to Zach, oh, you know, I've a real thing. I really want an early coil sprung Land Rover. And sure enough, well, I'll let you pick up the story from there. But it ended up happening, didn't it?
Well, Ian's is like a sweet shop, isn't it? I don't know whether you both been, but he's got bits and pieces, all interesting stuff tucked away in random corners. And when you said they're in the market for a specific Landy, couldn't believe it when Ian rocks up and it's like, oh yeah, that one over there, you can have that if you want. And your eyes lit up and I was like, Martin's not going home empty-handed here.
Yeah, so strategically, Martin decided that we should go and do YouTube on buying a project vehicle. So then we pretend, it's on our YouTube page, so check it out on Land Rover Monthly. And it's about buying a 110 project, wasn't it? And we poked and prodded, found some bits and pieces. Next thing, I thought you were acting out a negotiation. And next thing, there was handshaking. And I thought, have you just actually officially bought that? Yes, I have. I thought, what? So off camera, you obviously took it back, didn't you? And got it going.
Yeah, so I knew from that it was fate. It was fate, Zach. So when I saw it, it was pretty much dark by the time we got around the back of Ian's, and I just saw this absolutely algal B-Reg 110, and had a little poke over it, had a little look, had a chat with Ian, and I said, I will come back in the daylight, have a look. But I knew driving home, I was like, I'm buying that car.
Yeah, there was no question you were going home without that. I mean, it probably helped it being so dark, you didn't see the extent of the mess at the back of it.
Probably.
There was no way you were going home empty-handed that day.
Yeah, so...
smell it on for YouTube.
It was meant to be. But you've got a couple of projects on the go yourself, haven't you? Of course, you've got a Scout the Defender, which is your Instagram and your other socials. But you've also got a little 90, haven't you? Which we don't see quite as much of. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, the 90 was a bit of a shopping purchase. Yeah, it came out of the blue. I was in the market for TD5. I was desperate to do another conversion and learn a bit more about doing Land Rovers myself. I obviously built the 110, but that had already got like a pretty good foundation to it. So I was in the market for a TD5, a 90 that I could really like make my own and really learn about kind of the ins and outs of Land Rovers rather than just putting bits on. And this one came up and I just like, right, let's go for it, let's do it. And then found out a week later that we got a baby on the way, and I just bought a two-door, two-seater Land Rover, which probably wasn't the best timing, but it's been a great project. So it was a 90 hardtop TD5, and I've turned it, taken roof off, doors off, turned it into a soft top and a beachcomber, which has been an absolute blast to kind of learn the ins and outs of it, and resprayed it myself in a gazebo on the driveway, which is, wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it was a real good learning curve, and it's been wicked. So it's almost finished now. So we're going to put like a teak deck in the back, and then we're going to actually have it for our wedding and our friends' weddings. So it's going to be worked hard over the next few years at different weddings and events. So it's been great.
That sounds really cool. We'll have to keep an eye on that. It's an increasingly popular style, and when it's done right, it looks so good. I've seen a couple of pictures. Is it still Cairns blue, or did you paint it?
Yeah, still Cairns blue. There was a big debate as to whether I was going to maybe respray it. So I was maybe going to go for like a Brahma gold, something like that. But the panels were in such good condition, and it's actually a relatively rare colour, that I thought, well, let's just try and keep it. So I spoke to the guys at Paint and Paint, and they made me up a specific like colour match to the Cairns blue. So I was able just to sand down and repaint the rear tub in kind of like a Cairns blue Raptor, which is really cool.
Oh, wow.
So it's really durable. And then the back has just been resprayed in Cairns blue, so it's still got kind of a bit of patina to it, but I've managed to keep the Cairns blue, which I was really happy about. Bahama gold maybe on the horizon.
Yeah, I've been following that build actually on your YouTube, and like I said earlier, you know, just like ourselves, doing something yourself really makes you appreciate and be more proud of it. And the fact that you've taken like what essentially a farm spec 90 into a beach cruiser just shows the versatility of a Defender. And soon as you take the roof off the Land Rover and make it to a soft top, it immediately feels like a car adventure. So in terms of like daily, you don't really take the TD5 out much?
Not too much. When I've got time on my own, I'll definitely go out for a blast in the peaks, and it's cool, like on a Friday evening when it's sunny, to get top down and go for a hoon with it. Daily is the 110, so that is my daily car. My partner has a little Kia run around, so I just use the Defenders to get about my day-to-day. Although, yeah, the 110 with the rooftop tent on isn't necessarily the most practical thing to be kicking about with. Yeah, they're the two trucks on the driveway, and they're my daily cars, basically.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to watch out for those height restrictions when you've got a bit of an extra suspension height and a roof tent. But yeah, Scout the Defender, you're on ORE stand today. Looks absolutely brilliant. It's metallic black, isn't it, yours?
Yeah, I mean, there's a really nerdy story around the paint colour, but it's a Sumatra black. So we could go nerdy if you want to, but it was basically, when the tsunami hit in 2009, was it something like that? Land Rover used to get their Santorini paint made out there, and the factory was just destroyed, so they had to go somewhere random for a paint colour that was kind of similar to Santorini. So it's actually Sumatra black, so it's actually like a bluey black colour. So it was only produced for 2 years in a particular window, that some guy told me, if you look at my car, actually some of the panels are Santorini and some of the panels are Sumatra, because the body shop didn't necessarily realise that it was a slightly different shade when I was replacing the panels. So yeah, there's a bit of a nerdy story for you in terms of paint colours.
As somewhat of a Land Rover paint hue nerd, I feel like I've learned something today. I didn't know that. I know there is some interesting stories about different Land Rover paints. Around 2010, weirdly, like Barley Blue, there's a story behind that as well that you can look up. But I didn't know that. So thank you. What's next for you then? Obviously, you mentioned the terrible timing of buying your 90 and a little one coming along. Congratulations, of course. The 90s, you're going to use it for weddings. So any adventures planned for Scout?
So we had got like a big trip planned to go to Morocco in it. And then obviously again, the little one came along, so we changed tacks. But he sleeps better in the rooftop tent than he does at home, genuinely. So when he was like, a month old, we put him in his Moses basket in between the two of us in the rooftop tent. And we've tried to keep going on as many adventures as possible, even though it's a bit challenging now he's come along. So we're going to go up to Scotland again. We've done the North Coast quite a few times, so we're going to do that again. My partner Fiora's family are up there, so we're going to go do the North Coast, somewhere there we're familiar with the little one, so we know kind of where to go, where not to go. So we're going to go up there kind of towards the end of the summer, and then maybe next year we'll venture into Europe with it and take the little man with us, hopefully, is the plan. Because the truck's all kitted out, ready to go now. There's no more work necessarily I want to do to it. I just want to go and use it more and more and learn more about, the tweaks and changes that I want to make if I'm going on longer journey. So that's the plan going into next year.
Sounds great. And that's what a lot of people don't realize when, maybe if you're new to Land Rovers, you see all these kitted up Defenders and Discoveries as well, anything for overland use, they sort of assume that you have to go out there and chuck the catalog at it at once. But actually the best way to do it is gradually learn what you need, add it when you need it, spend money in the right places and just develop them as you go. I guess that's probably been the case for Scout.
Yeah, definitely. So I've always had the kind of constraint in the fact that it is my daily car, so it needs to be usable. So I didn't ever want to go kind of full camper conversion in the back. So I've tried to kind of adapt and modify the truck as I've gone along to be like, all right, I need to use this on a day-to-day basis, but I also want, a camping drawer that's permanently in the car. So on a Friday night, we leave all of our gear in it, we finish work at 5 o'clock, we can jump in the truck and go. So whilst it's not, a totally converted camper, try to kind of get it, but bridge that gap between a daily car and something that, that Friday night comes and we can get straight out into the peaks and go camping. And that's something that, we've refined and learned over time, what kit we want to leave in the truck, how we want to use the drawer system, how we want to adapt, like it's generally the way we use the car. And I'm hoping that we'll learn more and more when we go into kind of Europe, tweak and change that setup even further, so that, it's going to become like the perfect vehicle for how we want to use it as a family.
Sounds fantastic. Obviously, people will be able to keep up with your adventures when they do happen. Where can we find you on socials?
Yeah, so it's Scout the Defender on Instagram, and on YouTube I document some of the builds and the mishaps that go along with rebuilding these two trucks. So yeah, you can find me there.
Great stuff. Zach, thank you ever so much for your time. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. We'll keep up with you. We'll see what's going on. And hope to bump into you later on as well.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Yeah, nice work on the podcast as well.
Cheers. Give it up for Zach, everyone, please. Come on then, last but not least, the winner of the Rock, Paper, Scissors, and you sent Zach up first. A man that I only met for the first time last night in the beer tent, because that's where you meet everyone. someone who I've watched on YouTube quite a while, because he doesn't, you don't pull any punches, you don't cut out the drama when it comes to doing jobs on Land Rovers, do you?
Yeah, thanks. I didn't mean to wear salmon trousers on the salmon sofa, but I'm not naked.
You've actually colour coordinated brilliantly. Sorry, yeah. Dale Rubin, isn't it?
Everybody? Dale Rubin, yeah. I'm the new guy, so no one really knows me very well, but yeah. I don't like the fluff and the polish.
Yes.
So I try and show all the normal human stuff.
So we met about 10 minutes ago, didn't we? Well, 10 minutes before the podcast started, and I think I remember you last night, but we were probably about 4 or 5 beers in at that point. But so you hang out with these guys on a day-to-day basis, and you also produce content for YouTube?
Yeah, not daily. I mean, Jack lives down in Devon, I live near Brighton, and Zach lives way up north somewhere. The north is a mystery to me. I don't know anything above the M25, it's just the north. So he lives up there somewhere. I do YouTube as well. I've got a YouTube channel which is just sort of based around my Defender and kind of doing stuff to it and enjoying it. I'm going to start doing some trips eventually, finally, when I get there. But it's just about having fun and enjoying the process of building it and modding it. And yeah, who wants the mic?
I'll take. So the video that I think probably first introduced me to you, and I recognised you instantly when we were having some drinks last night, was the Defender seat retrim. As someone who's wrestled with Defender seats, Steve warned me. He said they're not easy. And I looked at the video. I thought they can't be that bad. They sell DIY kits, but your video really highlighted all the challenges, shall we say, of doing it, and it made it so much more personable and real that when I came to do it, that's the video I kept going back to. So thank you. And I have successfully retrimmed both my Defender seats, but it was I came up with against a lot of the same challenges you did.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. But fortunately, Exmoor Trim, their kit is so good that, like, I don't know if, yeah, it's made it a little bit easy, but man, it's not as straightforward as you think. I'm glad that you referred to that. That's cool. It was a struggle for sure. I don't know, I'm just trying to, like, it's just having fun with it. It's definitely not a how-to video, so I'm surprised you used it for that. But because I kept referencing the Exmoor Trim videos, so you got sort of like third generation information, but I'm glad it worked.
Well, the thing is, we've had comments on our videos that we don't struggle enough. So I did watch the Exmoor Trim and the Brit Part like instructional videos on retrimming a seat. And because those guys are professional retrimmers, they just make it look like they could do it with their eyes shut. So it was great to see someone who couldn't do it with their eyes shut, because it made me realise that not being able to do it with my eyes shut was normal. I can do greasy things and nuts and bolts and stuff like that, but when it comes to trimming stuff, that is a whole other ballgame.
Yeah, I remember about 10 years ago having a go at retrimming seats, and it sticks in my memory as the single worst job I've ever had to do on a Defender. I mean, it almost caused a divorce between me and my wife before we were even married. So it was just the most stressful thing, and trying to get the clips to not split sort of vinyl seats. And the thing with the Defender seats is if they're at the stage in which I need retrimming, normally it's like the headrests are stuck in, and you end up chasing them around the workshop floor like you were, Martin.
Yeah, so the first, the Land Rover we've just spoken about, actually, the Zach, my 1985 110, the seats that came with it were original. They hadn't been fitted, they'd been stored for many years. The headrest was so corroded into the rest of the seat that I put two sets of mole grips on it, and I was hitting it with a hammer around my workshop floor to free it. It was that seized in. That was one of the many things that fought me. But thankfully, the second one I did wasn't as bad. But it's one of those things, isn't it? But you only learn by doing. Have you had any other jobs on your Land Rover that you thought, this is, I'm going to go inside, have a drink and have a sit down for a while?
Oh yeah, literally every job pretty much. But I was going to say to you, if your seat retrim almost costs you a divorce, don't do your headliner.
That'll
be game over. Yeah, that one. That sent me over the edge. I mean, I tried to put it in on my own for about an hour and a half. And I eventually just let it fall on me, and I just had a nap in the car with the roof liner on top of me. because I was raging inside. I wanted to rip it up until I googled the price of a replacement headliner. Yeah.
And that's the thing right there. So some of the trim pieces for Land Rovers now, one of the pieces of advice I'd actually give is if you are actually rebuilding a Land Rover, do not throw a single thing away, because that bracket or that clip or that piece of trim that you think is junk actually is worth a lot more than you think. If anyone's got a lower dash for a 90, or even a 110 because it will fit, but I need a lower dash, and trying to find a good one second hand, because they're an absolute fortune. And you know, mine are kind of left outside, you know, and now I wish I hadn't, because it has a value. But yeah, Land Rover is one of those vehicles that you take them to bits and they're just spread across the workshop floor, and just be organized. Are you restoring your Land Rover, or are you just simply improving it?
Well, I've had a little go at both of those kind of things. I had a Series 3 last year, which I did a project on over 12 months as like a driveway restoration. So I bought it in a pretty good condition, but then, like, without getting into fabrication and respraying the whole thing, I added bits that I thought would bring it up into sort of like modernization a little bit, make it a bit more comfortable. So I've restored a little bit, but I sold that off, and I currently am focusing on my 110 Defender, and I'm building it as like a, let's say an overland rig, so that I can take my family and we can go and do trips around Europe and explore it a little bit.
Yeah, the overland thing is actually becoming quite a common theme. So our last three or four guests have overland inspired vehicles, and that is one of the beauties of Land Rovers. I mean, if you'd have wound the clock back 20 years ago, there would be only a handful of people doing this. You'd perhaps have a Karen X10. Do you remember them? The Karen X10 at the back of your Land Rover. And now everyone seems to... Do you have a roof tent?
I do.
Yeah, so roof tents are like commonplace now. And part of that adventure, and I think lockdown probably, you know, COVID probably inspired lots of people to the staycation thing. And name me a better car. Don't say Land Cruiser.
I wouldn't.
No, but...
although we did look around one yesterday, and it was really nice.
We did look a really interesting Land Cruiser just over there on the Escapade 4x4.
Yeah, the troop carrier.
What a thing that is. But you're obviously from South Africa, so the Land Cruiser is quite popular over there.
Yes, and thank you for saying obvious, because like I keep getting told that my accent has completely disappeared. But
no.
That's what happens when you marry an English school teacher. She beats it out of you. But yeah, so so overlanding has been part of my sort of story for quite a while. I went through a phase, right, which has kind of become popular now, where everybody like sells everything and then they bugger off around the world. So my wife and I did that in 2012, 2013. We sold everything, bought a Discovery One. And
good choice.
Three-door. And it was great. Put a roof tent on it. And we drove from here, from her family's home in West Sussex, to my home in South Africa. So we drove through Europe and down through the east coast of Africa. And so overlanding has been part of my sort of world for quite a while. And being a photographer is my day job. That's like, I use that to kind of photograph a whole bunch of stuff along the way. And I worked with a couple of magazines. And so it's nice to see the overlanding scene like coming up, because it was so hard to find the right stuff to take on the trip. And there was no information. There's a couple of random forums, but now it's like, man, it's rich for the pickings if you want to do a trip.
I was going to say, you don't have to look far around the Billing Off Road Show to see, you know, outfitters, companies that can sell you anything from a roof tent to storage boxes, cookers, fridges. I can't think of a better place to go than a Land Rover or an off-road event anywhere, really. If you're looking to kit yours up for a bit of weekend adventure, something I've started the process of myself with my daily driver, my Freelander 2. I've been chatting with Chris. We've sorted out a roof tent this weekend, which I'm really excited about. I can't wait to get that on and try it. Now the front runner rack is in place, Steve. Finally, we got there. Combined that with a bit of camping in the week, didn't we? We did an overnighter down by the river, same place we shot the Jack's Defender, funnily enough, when we did the photo shoot on that. But yeah, it's really... I guess when you start out, possibly slightly daunting, but as we said with Zach, the best way of doing it is to just go, do the camping, and then figure out what you need from there. So have you done any other sort of long distance stuff?
Not a ton. I mean, I've done road trips and stuff through the US, but not in an overlanding kind of, should we say, bracket. But what you mentioned there is like, yes, it can seem super daunting when you're standing at the foot of the mountain and you're like, where do I start? But I think, like, in a simplest form, overlanding is like, it's just having a vehicle to take you into remote places and enjoy your surroundings. You don't need a lot to begin with. And that's actually how, like, my Africa trip, I had this dream of doing it, but it was impossible because of the budget requirements to do a round the world trip, until I met someone who said that they did it on a shoestring. And that kind of gave me a bit of permission to go, yeah, if he can do it, I can do it. So it's not as big a barrier to entry as you would expect. But yeah, I've got a trip down to the Pyrenees planned in end of July. So I want to do some of the, I think it's called the TET, the Trans-European
yes.
Trail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got some of that mapped out. I'm going to drive to the Pyrenees. But in terms of what I've done since the Africa trip, not a lot. Life and kids and stuff got in the way.
Yeah, I think what I've taken from this is a lot of people think they need big budgets. And, you know, you can start with a Freelander 1 and Freelander 2, very, very capable, good cars for family. And you just need to stick a roof rack and think about storage solutions. I think being organised and not take too much. I think most people bog their vehicles down with far too much weight. I think we're guilty of that. My setup is a trailer with a rooftop tent on top of that. And because you've got the space, you seem to fill it. The stuff that you don't actually need, so you're adding weight unnecessarily. So if I was to go to the Pyrenees now, I would probably put the tent back on the car and just take very limited stuff and just take the minimum.
I absolutely hate towing stuff, so I would never do that. I wouldn't even entertain the idea of a trailer. The thought of having to do a three-point turn with a trailer is enough to make me sell the whole car. Like, I couldn't. It probably like just pips the headliner in terms of anxiety. Like, I would never tow anything. I think the only thing I would tow is probably a friend out of a ditch, and that's it. But yeah, I lost my train of thought. Can I hand over to you?
Sure. I've become somewhat of a bit of a connoisseur of thinking on the fly. So yeah, live podcast, Steve. Can you believe we're doing this? Just over a year of doing the LRM podcast, and we're sat on a stage in the beer tent. At Billing, a fantastic Billing Off Road Show 2025, and we're like just doing it, just winging it, really, aren't we?
Yeah, a lot of people think we have a plan or every week, and we tend to go down into our, we call it a studio. That's a posh way of saying it is a studio. And we sit on this exact thing, like Ant and Deb, and we say, what are we going to talk about? And the conversation flows, and often we think we're going to run out of things to say, but there are so many things to say and so many interesting people. And I think that's what this scene is about. It's about the people enjoying their cars, enjoying remote places, exploring, and long may that continue. You know, the great thing is we're amongst like-minded people here, and what a great scene to be involved in.
Yeah, it's the kindred spirit, right? Like, we're all kind of like enjoy the same things, we're thinking along the same lines. So yeah, this is my first ever show. I've never been to a show ever before. Like, this is literally my very first 4x4 show, Land Rover show. So I've really enjoyed it. Yeah, I see Jack shaking his head there. He can't believe it. Genuinely.
I must say, you did make a wise choice by getting a hotel overnight, because the dust is unrelenting.
Why'd you have to bring that up? I was trying to keep that on the down low. Everybody's expecting me to camp, and I just got my wires mixed. Do you want me to leave right now?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Dale. I didn't mean to dump you in.
You dobbed me in, right?
So Dale's perfect camping situation is book a Premier Inn.
Premier Inn.
Other hotels are available. But I think that is it for us. I think we've had some excellent guests on this podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure meeting new people. Bring in the salmon sofa. A few people have come up to the Land of a Monthly Stand and said, what on earth is this about? There were about five people that understand what the salmon sofa is. And this is the infamous salmon sofa of the LRM podcast. So now that you've seen it, come and grab a selfie on there and hashtag save the salmon sofa. I don't know why we're saving it, because it's not going anywhere, but I don't know where he's gone, but we've got Greg in the room somewhere, and he's actually had a t-shirt made, LRM save the salmon sofa. That is commitment.
Yeah, Greg, just what an absolute legend. Before we do go though, Dale, we must tell people where they can find you on YouTube and social media.
Oh, brilliant, thank you. It's just at Dale Rubin, R-E-U-B-I-N, it's supposed to be E-N, but my grandfather spelt it wrong on my birth certificate.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, so it's, Dale, at Dale Rubin, and Instagram and YouTube.
Great stuff, Dale. Thank you ever so much for joining us. I know it was a bit of a last minute thing, but no, we really appreciate you coming back and having a chat on the podcast. So yeah, I think there's nothing left to say except have a fantastic day, everyone, at the Billing Off-Road Show 2025. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all soon.